Callie Griffith, a thought leadership associate in Huron Consulting Group's Research Enterprise Solution Practice, a group that focuses on serving clients engaged in research at universities, academic medical centers, health systems, and community hospitals. This is the second in a series of podcasts we are delivering, focusing on enterprise risk assessments within higher education and healthcare organizations. Today, I am joined by Mark Anderson, the Associate Vice President of Institutional Integrity and Governance for Thomas Jefferson University. Jefferson is a large healthcare system and university with 951 licensed beds, 13,000 employees, 3,700 students, 3,200 full and part-time faculty, and 1,800 medical staff serving the Philadelphia region. Mark created and oversees the formal Enterprise Risk Management, or ERM, program for their institution. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Callie.
So, Mark, prior to Jefferson, you served as the director for Medicaid Fraud Division for the state of New Jersey in the Office of the Comptroller after serving for years in the New Jersey Office of the Medicaid Inspector General and the U.S. Attorney's Office. So with your extensive background in governmental oversight and enforcement activities, I am most curious to hear your perspective on the importance and purpose of ERM in healthcare or higher education organizations today.
Well, Callie, as a government official charged with enforcement, both at the state and federal level, I had to be cognizant of where problems or risks could most easily occur. A lot of these risks were easy to spot. For example, the healthcare provider generated a high volume of patient business but really lacked the compliance infrastructure to accommodate that business, it was more likely that the provider would make mistakes. Similarly, I think ERM, a much broader-based risk management vehicle, assesses risk beyond the traditional management exercise of insurance and claims. It looks at a business entity as a whole and attempts to locate those weaknesses in a business structure that could do the entity harm. Or strategically, it attempts to locate the best opportunities for a business to make it more competitive.
Initially starting this formal program at such a large and complex institution must have been rather daunting. How did you start building the foundation and structure for Jefferson's ERM program?
Well, to your point, Callie, I first had to understand the structure. That was difficult because the structure kept expanding here at Jefferson. Then I had to do benchmarking with similar academic medical centers and universities to determine three things. One, whether they had an ERM program. Two, how long it had been in place. And three, whether it was successful. I then worked with a consultant which helped define the contours of the program here. At Jefferson, ERM is focused on the operational aspects of the institution and not the strategic. In the interim time, we started conducting risk assessments of corporate departments and large operational areas of Jefferson, which we call pillars here. These risk assessments identify high priority risk, assign risk owners to mitigate the risk, and document quarterly progress. This information goes to senior management with ultimate reporting to the audit committee board.
To provide our listeners with an example of how ERM works from the front lines up to the board, would you mind illustrating this process as it pertains to research, which I believe resides in the academic pillar at Jefferson?
It does. Well, first we conducted a series of interviews of stakeholders within the academic pillar of Jefferson, and we asked them questions regarding the risk they see within the pillar. Given the work that we do, these risks were mainly in two categories: education, and research. We identified about 55 risks, and then in coordination with our academic partners, we assigned various metrics to these risks, such as likelihood, impact, velocity, management, preparedness, and risk tolerance. This process actually helped us to identify the highest priority risks within the academic area, the majority of which are actually research-oriented. With the guidance of the executive risk owner, who is the senior official in the academic pillar, and his chief of staff, we assign risk owners to each of the high priority risks. These owners actually also reside on Jefferson's Research Compliance Committee. In coordination with the risk owners, we then develop mitigation plans to remediate the risk. All this information is put on a dashboard. At our quarterly audit committee meeting, the executive risk owner, walks through the dashboard, presenting both the risk, the individual risk owners, and the mitigation plans to address the risk. That's the process we perform for each of the areas for which we have conducted risk assessments.
Do you have any recommendations for our audience that could help them report research-related risks to the board?
I do. First, be transparent about the issues you encounter when you are gathering information. Also, develop good work relationships with the academic stakeholders. Presenting yourself as someone who is there to help address sometimes long-standing risk issues. I think to the extent that folks see you as working with them and not working against them, you'll be able to be effective in your job.
In addition to the initial risk assessment, how do you, one, ensure the ERM plan for research and academic areas stay relevant, and two, how do you identify risks that cross over into the different pillars outside of the academic pillar?
Those are both good questions, Callie. I think with respect to your first question, every quarter, the individual risk owners are responsible for providing an update which demonstrates progress towards remediation. That documentation actually helps keep the risk relevant and helps keep people accountable for moving towards mitigation and remediation. I think with respect to your second question, the risk owners many times are not all within the same academic pillar. They come from sometimes outside the academic pillar and sometimes even in HR. For example, some of those risks in the academic pillar right now that we identified have owners which reach outside of that pillar. It really depends on the issue. The bottom line, though, is that ERM is most effective when risks are communicated throughout the institution such that everyone knows what are the biggest things that are going on within the institution.
Mark, you have built very strategic working relationships within Jefferson's leadership, and there is an active level of engagement and support of the ERM program. But some of our listeners may be having a difficult time conveying and convincing senior leadership that an ERM program is truly worth the investment. Do you have any advice for getting leadership buy-in and support?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to take time to really understand your organization and what senior management considers value add. And then you got to figure out how to craft your ERM program to be that value add to the institution. I think in order for it to be successful, the program must be considered important to the important people within the organization.
Mark, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and very much value your perspectives. Thank you for your time today.
Callie, thanks for having me.